Now we are up to the most critical part of the Maggid. Rabbi Gamliel is going to say the following three things are pivotal, and if you say that, you did your Maggid. And with this, we will conclude the Maggid. It will lead us into the Hallel. We say two or three paragraphs of praise and conclude the Maggid with a blessing, and that's it. We're up to the meal. So whenever we hit Dayenu, I tell my wives, my wife. or more accurately, when we hit the 10 plagues, I tell my wife that in a half hour, 40 minutes, we're going to be at the meal if she wants to shift the food onto the fire. So now, at this point, really, everyone should be at the table, because the next three paragraphs we're going to say are the pivotal points that if you say them, you've done your minimum in terms of recounting the Exodus from Egypt. And so that's why women are called to the table, even if they were busy in the kitchen for other parts of the Seder. At this point, we try to ensure everyone's there and everyone's saying and understanding what we're saying. Basically, what Rabbi Gamliel said is you got to say a minimum of three things we described in the very beginning, Pesach, Matzah, and Mar, and explain what each of them are. So I'll read and translate, but you guys know everything because we already explained it at the onset, which is how I believe you should do it. You got to get it in the beginning, before the kids conk out, before, you know, if you leave it for the end of Maggid, it might take a long time till everyone finishes their manishtana, etc. So at this point, we refill our wine. We refill our glasses because we're about to get up to the second cup, right? The second cup will be the concluding cup of the Maggid. We're going to use it for the conclusion of Maggid. We'll make a blessing at the conclusion of Maggid and drink the wine. You guys probably lost your 72 minutes on the wine, as did I. We didn't make an after blessing, so we'll have to make a new blessing because we basically, the time passed for our Bor Priagafen. So we'll make a new Bor Priagafen. At the Seder night, we do make another Bor Priagafen. Okay, but we're not yet up to that. The only thing is, you should refill your cups of wine. Saramashkim, Elad, you're on your own now. Maybe Benny will help you. Pour everyone a cup of grape juice. Refill their cups. Okay.
Just a little bit.
Rabbi Gamliel used to say, whoever did not say the following three things on Pesach did not fulfill their obligation. The Eluhen. These are the three things. What are they? We all know them. Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Now, one of the things we're going to be careful about is not to allow anyone to think that this meat over here is really roasted meat from the Paschal offering. So we're going to say Pesach, and we'll all look at the roasted meat, but we won't touch it. We'll just look at it. Pesach, the Paschal offering that our forefathers ate while the temple was standing, al shuma. Why? What does it represent? It represents the idea that God passed over our forefathers' houses in Egypt. Shneimaz, the verse says, it says that you will declare, this is a Pesach offering for Hashem, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, as he struck the Egyptians and spared our houses. And then we pick up the matzah, which is our central theme matzah, the broken matzah, right? So we take the middle broken matzah and we say the smaller half, right? The afikoman is hidden for later. Matzah zu, this matzah, shianu ochelim, that we are eating, we're about to start eating. Al shuma, what does it represent? Al shum. Because the dough of our forefathers did not have time to become leavened till the King of Kings, Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, appeared early in the morning and redeemed them before they had a chance. The verse says, they baked the dough they took out of Egypt as matzah because it didn't have time to become leavened. Because they were chased out of Egypt in the morning, they couldn't even delay. They hadn't prepared provisions for the way. They weren't ready for that. They figured, God's taking us out of Egypt. Okay, we'll have time to bake fresh bread. So they had the dough ready, but they hadn't yet started up the fires. And suddenly, the Egyptians say, get out! Wait a second, but I thought I'm going to prepare bread for today. I know, get out, get out, get out! we have to run out. So we're rushing out, and as we're rushing, the dough gets shifted here, there, and it doesn't ferment, and we make it into matzah. Now, the rule is that dough, so long as it's being worked, doesn't ferment. So the dough is bopping on their back as they run out of Egypt. It's bouncing up and down as they're running out. And so the dough does not ferment. Now, in Talmudic times, they didn't go by the 18 minutes. They were able to look at the dough and see if it fermented. We have Mishnayos that describe how you know when dough ferments. So the Jews leaving Egypt, when they finally had a chance to sit down and look at their dough, they look at it and they see, hey, it never got a chance to ferment. It's been bouncing up and down as we've been running out of here. And look at that, it hasn't even fermented. It's still kosher for matzah. Yes, Benny?
I know that we've talked about this a bunch. And there's always oh, there's a rush that, you know, we need to leave Egypt. But the Egyptians told us to leave at midnight. And so we had like 6 hours.
Right, but God said you're not leaving your houses till the morning. They didn't know at what time in the morning, and I don't think they had stoves in the houses in those times. They were in the house preparing the dough, and when morning comes, suddenly they get an announcement, leave.
It would have ferment sitting in the house?
Well, they were preparing the dough early in the morning.
How long did they prepare dough?
I assume that they wanted it to be fresh bread for the day. So just as the day was settling in, they prepare the dough. They're about to go. Early in the morning was when you'd prepare your bread.
And this isn't super fine flour that we have today. That doesn't take much for it to rise.
It's also true. It's also true. Now we lift the maror. Maror ze shianu ochelim. This maror which we will eat. Al shuma. Why are we eating these bitter herbs? Because the Egyptians embitter our forefathers' lives, as the verse says. They embittered the Jews' lives with all kinds of work. They made them make mortar, bricks, and then when they finished their work at the end of the day, they'd come and say, now go mow my lawn, now go get the weeds out of my lawn. Any type of work in the field, any work they needed. I need you to build me a bookshelf. I need you to get the lice out of my clothing. I need you to go and chase the wolves out of my yard. The Jews were summoned at all hours. Aside from the work they did all day, at all hours of night, they were summoned for any job that an Egyptian or his servant wanted. So that's what the Mamrar commemorates, the embitterment of our lives. Every generation, every Jew has to view it as though he personally left Egypt. That's why it's correct that I tell my children, you know what happened to me? Because that's the way we should view it. The verse says, tell your child on that day, on Pesach, you tell him, you tell him, this is why God did for me when I left Egypt. God didn't only save our forefathers, He saved us with them as well. The verse says, God took us out of there to bring us to the land that He promised our forefathers. And that's it. Now we're up to the concluding Hallel, with the concluding blessing that leads us to the meal. You guys got koach to do that?
Yes,
we'll take 10 minutes and then we'll get to the meal. Yes?
Yay.
Austin, you with us? Yes? Okay. Now we cover the matzah because we're going to honor the cup of wine, right? We're going to hold up the glass as we have the concluding song of the Maggid. Guys, hold up your glasses. Leul kales, you could say along with me, that's why it's our duty to thank, praise, pay tribute, glorify, extol. You guys have the place, yeah?
I do not.
Yeah, okay, what page are we on in this edition?
51.
50.
I don't have
it in this. I don't have it. It's right after the,
no.
Page 50, the bottom of page 50. We cover the mantle, we lift the cup and proclaim. Lefichach, therefore, because it's also us who were saved, therefore, anam chayvim leodot, it's our duty to thank, lalel, to praise, leshabech, pay tribute, lefa'er, glorify, leromem, to exalt, levarech, to bless, lalei, to extol, lekales, to acclaim, lemishasel avtem lan kol nisim alalu, to he, the God, who did all these miracles for our forefathers and us, Hotzianam Abdut Lechirut, he took us out of slavery to freedom, Me'agon from sorrow, Lesimcha to happiness, Me'evel from mourning, Le'yom Tov to a day of celebration, Me'afela from darkness, Lo Gadol to great light, Me'shiabud from servitude, Le'geula to redemption, Ve'nomalef anam shirach adash, Hallelujah. So let's recite before him a new song, Hallelujah. And that leads us into the first two chapters of Hallel, which is all we will say before the meal. Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avdei Adonai. Who composed this? The Hallel. The Jews, when they left Egypt. David just wrote it down. Yeah. This is the Hallel the Jews sang as they left Egypt. They said, praised is Hashem, now that you are servants of Hashem. You are no longer servants of Pharaoh. You are servants of Hashem. Hallelujah, Shem Hashem. So give praise to the name of Hashem. Yishem Adonai Vach Matav Adolam. May God's name be blessed from now till forever. All day long, from sunrise to sunset, God's name is praised. Ram al kol goyim Adonai la shamayim kvodo. God's above all the nations. Mik Adonai Eloheinu amagbihi lashavet. Amashpili lirot lashamayim v'aretz. Now what struck the Jewish people was, God is so high, yet he looks at us, the Jewish people, who are so low. Even the Egyptian slaves look down at us, and God looks all the way down at everyone. God lifts the poor from the dust. He lifts the impoverished from the dumps. And sits the poor with the philanthropist. And God takes the barren woman and makes her the glad mother of children. Hallelujah. Betzet Yisrael mim Mitzrayim, Beit Yaakov me'am lo'ez, Haita Yehuda le'kacho Yisrael mamshelotav, Hayam rav hayanos, Hayarden Yisav le'yachor, He'arim rakdu chelim, Gevaot kivnei tzon. Malech hayam kitanos, hayoden tisov leachor, heharim tirkedo chelim, gevaot kivnei tzon. Milifnei adon choli haretz, מלפני אלוה יעקב, ההופכי עצור, הגמיים, חלם איש למיינו מיים. And with that we say the concluding blessing of the Maggid. Blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the Universe. Baruch Hashem כן המלך העולם. אשר גלנו וגלת אבותינו, you redeemed us, you redeemed our ancestors ממצרים, from Egypt. והגיענו הלילה הזה לאכול בו מצה ומרור, and brought us on this night, to eat matz and maror. We're not eating the Paschal offering yet. So Hashem, you should bring us to holidays, to celebrations that are coming towards us. Leshalom, we should be in peace. We should be happy at the rebuilding of your city. Rejoicing at your service. We will eat over there the offerings that will be brought at with your gracious acceptance. And over there we'll give you new song, new praise over the redemption and liberation of our souls. Notice with this blessing we have shifted from speaking about the past to speaking about the future. We look forward to the future redemption. And that's why after the meal we're going to shift and talk about the future. Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael, blessed are you Hashem who redeemed Israel. We lean on our left. And we make the blessing Borei Pri Hagafen. Tonight we can make that blessing as well. Guys, lean to your left, and I recommend do not finish the cup so you don't get stomach aches. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pri Hagafen. Okay. And with that, we're up to the meal. Guys, let's give out the matzahs and understand what we're going to do at the meal. You're invited to take out your pamphlets again.